Thank God for all the children this morning. We're happy to see all of you here. Welcome here this morning. We've already had wishes for all the mothers and the Mother's Day wishes. Amen. Yeah. Father, we thank you this morning that we can gather in your name. We thank you for our brother Edmund. We thank you for the Amos Ministries. We ask, Lord, that you will continue to bless them, that you'll continue to use them. We pray, Lord, that you will even add more laborers. And even as we look around, as we walk around Wellington, interact, we see that the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. So, Lord, for Amos Ministries, we pray for more laborers. We pray that you will draw laborers. Thank you for those who are supporting. Thank you for those who are involved. But we pray for more laborers, God, into every farm. We see the children that grow up and the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren. So, Father, you see it as well. And we pray that you will stir our hearts, that you will lead each and every one to participate in your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Father, this morning we also want to pray for the Pacens family, Christo and Madeline's family and the children. We pray that you will comfort them even as their dad has passed last night. We pray for your comfort for them. We pray for your strength for them. We pray, God, that as the family will get together, we pray for unity, for love, for compassion, for understanding, and for all the arrangements. We also pray for Margaret, who has had a fall. We commit her to you, Lord. And for any other requests that might be here this morning, if you have a request, just mention it to the Lord. He knows, but you can mention it. Father, we bring every request, every concern, a request for work this morning. We think of Courtney. We think of those who are looking for work. We think of those with challenges with their children, challenges at work, whatever it might be. We bring all our cares to you this morning. We come and we roll them onto you because you care for us. You are our loving, good, good Father this morning. Amen. Amen. So yes, blessings to all the mothers. You're not just a mother, but you also are a grandmother, an aunt, a friend. You know, as women, you have that maternal instinct to care for others. So we thank God for mothers. Now, I thought because it's Mother's Day, I felt in my heart to speak about family. Why about family? Because family has been attacked on all fronts. Family has been attacked. We see the order that God has set up is not happening. It's the other way around. Where children are supposed to obey their parents, the parents are listening to the children. Children are taking authority. We've got a lot of other issues, and you all are aware of them. Within marriage, there's an attack. Within the family relationships, there's an attack. Now, family, when we speak of family, the dictionary says it's the household. It's including parents, children, descendants. In the Old Testament, it was also including servants. They were part of the household. Sometimes even the employees were also part of the household. All those who wanted to benefit under the pater familiae, that was the head of the family. And family also means, in the Old Testament, we got the bayit. That's closest to our modern-day family structure. And then we've got the larger one, the Mishka, a large extended family unit. Then we also have the tribes. So there's all, when we speak of family, we could speak of either of these contexts or all of them inclusive. The family of David, the house of David, the house of Israel, the family of Abraham. It's his whole lineage. He was the ancestor. And so all the lines go under him. So sometimes you see the house of Israel, we refer to an entire nation. Now, family, from the beginning, we as Christians believe it originated with God. God created family. The other day, I just happened to go into something that seemed interesting. You know how the internet, the logarithm sort of throw you into something. And this woman spoke and just said, I think she's a motivational speaker, but at the sounds of it, she could be a little bit new age and academic and whatever. And she says, you foolish people don't believe in creationism. That's foolishness. Now, you and I as Christians believe in creation. All religions have a story or a myth about creation. Our story is in the book of Genesis. Right at the beginning, that's the one we stand on. That's our foundation. And if we look at that foundation, we see that God established it, a man and a woman to come together and to start a family. Marriage and family was established before government. It was established before schools, before any institution. Marriage is the foundation of our society. Everything else revolves around family. The husband, the wife. Now, in the modern day, we also have extended families. We have nuclear families. We have blended families. You see, we have single families. They are all family. And all those families must fall under the authority of God. All those families must function as God intended them to function. To experience the full blessing, we've got to follow God's guidelines. We've got to fall under that. If we don't fall under that, we are stepping on slippery sand. Now, the reason why I'm speaking about, I said that earlier, why I felt to speak about family, because this has been, as I said, attacked on all fronts. Let me just read it to you. Andrew hasn't got it. I'll just read it on my side. Psalm 11, verse 3 says, "When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can the righteous do when our foundations are being destroyed? The foundations of our society, the foundations of our faith is being destroyed. What can the righteous do?" And it says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes the Son of Men. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked and those who love violence his soul hates. On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. Scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see his face." What do we do when our foundations are being threatened? What are you doing? What am I doing? What are we supposed to do when they're being threatened? Now, the sociologists, they say that family is the basic unit of society. It shapes religion. It shapes culture. It shapes education and relationships. What actually happens in a family, the children are taught how to behave. Children are born and then they are socialized within the family. You learn how to relate to people. You learn how to live your life. You have your goals. You have your faith. Everything is happening there in the family. Now, if that is not happening in our society, what are we facing? Family is an universal institution. We as Christians say family started with God, but it's universal. Anywhere you go, any religion, any group of people, and it is through it a child develops both socially and spiritually. So what happens in the home is very important, and it's going to impact the child. That's one of the reasons why this family is so important. And also with the family and marriage, we can say marriage, as Paul tells us in Ephesians, it's a picture of Christ and his church. The Bible doesn't just say family is going to be easy. It doesn't say marriage is going to be easy. It tells us there's going to be conflicts. It tells us we're going to have challenges. It also tells us how to deal with them. It gives us the principles of how to deal with them. So we must look at the Word of God. We don't know how to deal with something. Look at God's Word. Take the principles and see how the Holy Spirit helps you to actually apply it. And this is the other important thing with Christianity and religion or secularism. Christianity is about relationship. It's not just a religious ritual. How we relate to each other in our homes is how we will relate to each other in the church, is how we will relate to people in the street, how we will relate to people on the job. A strong marriage and family fosters love and understanding. So if that can be formed in the home, so keep that question at the back of it. When the foundations are being shaken, what do the righteous do? What does God want you to do? What does God want me to do? These foundations are shaking. These foundations are slippery. If we look at the Old Testament, like I spoke about that earlier on, the three different concepts of levels of family life. We spoke about just the household and then the extended family unit and then the broader communal and our spiritual identity. In the New Testament, Paul comes and he gives us a lot of insight, gives us a clearer insight, a deeper insight to why we you know, an understanding. I can't go into depth so that I've done a lot of preparation here, but I can't go into all that. Understanding the fatherhood of God from the beginning and bringing that understanding into our spiritual our walk with God, bringing it into our today's life. Why is that family idea important? Why is that fatherhood important? So we see that everything is traced back to the ancestral lineage. So we're going to read that just now. We're going to read about God's fatherhood over all families. And we also see in Greek we have the oikos and the oikia, which is the household. The Bible also teaches us about this fellowship, this household, physical and relational. Now we're going to read our scripture verse for today, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to chapter 4, verse 6. Now I had a bit of a challenge. I don't have the ESV with me. Can somebody read? Who's got a nice strong voice? Serena, can I ask you to please come here and read it? Or read there. Andrew, can you get the scripture verse first? Ephesians 3.
When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. When you read this, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father.
I'm going to read from this one, the NIV. But I wanted the ESV. I'll tell you why I wanted the ESV, but it's fine. You know, the book of Ephesians is such a beautiful book. It's actually a circular letter that Paul wrote to the church. There was no problem in Ephesus, but he's talking about the unity of the body of Christ. He's emphasizing that oneness, that growing together. And so in the first part, he gives us the doctrinal things. And then later on from chapter 4, he begins to give us the practical side. How do we live out? How do we remain united? How do we remain as a family? How do we function as a family to the best that God wants us to function? And God is our Father. So in this prayer, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I've got to stop there. Now, the Jewish people normally will stand when they pray. But Paul says, I kneel before the Father. I kneel before the Father. He is there's a sense of respect, of adoration. Some versions says he says all families. Instead of whole, the ESV says all families. Now you must remember, people thought in terms of families, the family of Abraham, the family of David, the family line. So all the family. So all, if we, like we sang, Father Abraham has many sons. We are part of Abraham's sons and daughters. So all the families of the world, all the families of that time, whether it was Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, whoever, they all derive their name from God. We're under God. We are God's children. That's where we derive our name. My maiden name was Jones. And so I am under the Jones family. You understand? You are under the Marie family. That's your line. But it says all the families are under God's family. And Paul bows his knee. This is an important thing that he's actually doing, because the family, the head of the family, was so upheld. He was very important. Which family did he belong to? Every family has its culture. Every family has its way of life. We have similarities. But if you go into the family, you find they do things differently. We visited the family 2 weeks ago, two sisters and their husbands and children. And after we ate, the two sisters put a meal together and organized, because they invited us, saw us as parents, invited us. And they all went, their practices, when they finished eating, everyone goes and says, thank you, auntie, thank you, uncle, thank you, Gida, thank you. Everybody says thank you for the meal, you know. Some other families are in Botswana. When the meal is over, everyone will go and kiss mother on the cheek. Thank you, mother, for the meal. Do you understand? So there's practices and cultures that are unique to every family. So family is important, and your identification with family. Verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Who's this? The Father. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be full to the measure of all the fullness of God. This is Paul's prayer, verse 20. They call it a doxology, a closing. He says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. Where's the power? It's at work in us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Generations are important. Family is important. Forever and ever, amen. I'm going to go on to chapter 4, because in chapter 4 he gives us another reason. He underscores this aspect of unity. He underscores this aspect of togetherness. As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you. He's not saying pray for me, I'm a prisoner. He's also telling to live a life worthy of calling, the calling you have received. He is a prisoner for Jesus Christ. He's not ashamed of it. He's not feeling sorry for himself. But he's encouraging the church. He says, I'm telling you, this is where I'm at. He says, now you be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Why? There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We have this common... He paints such a beautiful picture. We've got so much commonalities. We are all within this, I'm going to say commonwealth, but we are all within this richness. We are one. We've been brought together. Now, Paul used different metaphors to speak about the unity and the functioning, but this morning we're focusing on family. Family, family, family. The fatherhood of God, another way we could also look at it, Paul is also saying, we could read it as the fatherhood of God extends to believers past, present, and future as well. All believers, all those who believe in Jesus Christ, have accepted Christ, God is the Father over all. We have this, we've got this identity, and we have this privilege, and we have this honor. Believers are adopted as sons and daughters. We know that from Romans 8:15. We were lost and we were also excluded, but now we've been brought into the family of God. We've been adopted into the household of God. We had some other identity, but now we have identity with our Father. We also not only have identity, we have privileges and we have responsibilities as children of God. The church is God's household. That's another word for family as well. They use in the scripture, household. The church is God's household. It is the foundation of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. Now, if we also look another aspect, you can see how important was households in the Book of Acts or in the New Testament. The biblical households were essential for the early church's growth. It happened there in the home. It happened with the family and the extended family, and they also invited guests to come. Others came to that home. They met at that home. That is where they broke bread. That is where they prayed together. That's where they shared. But they were all part of the Church of Jerusalem. It says that they had the house churches, and is reference to that. That is where worship took place, in the home. And others are also invited. So we have it with our own families and those with us, but we also have others that come in. So this household concept, this family concept, is dynamic. It's God's idea. It is God's plan. We come together from our different households here as God's household. You understand? Or when we meet in our Bible studies, in our little groups. Now, like I said earlier on, being a child of God, also me, and being in God's family, there is a responsibility. There's servanthood. Paul saw himself as a servant and a steward of Jesus Christ. Hebrews tells us that Moses was a faithful steward in God's house. He was foreshadowing Christ as the son and the heir. Christ is the son and the heir over God's household. You understand? We fall under him. The family is also a source, a place where we grow spiritually. We should grow spiritually. We should grow in character. We should grow as individuals. Growth must take place within the family. And as we participate, as we engage with each other, we look, for example, I was talking about the attack on family. There's different on different fronts. But I just want to say the aspect of communication is also a challenge in today's life. It is a challenge. We are not engaging as we should. We are not talking as we should. People are typing short messages. People are typing to each other from that room to that room. Where are you? What are you doing? You know, there's no that personal dynamics, the interpersonal dynamics of us speaking to each other, hearing each other, looking into the face and reading what is in the eyes, trying to ascertain what is not, giving the person that full attention that we actually need as people. There's quite a lot I would have liked to have said, and there's quite a lot to be said about family. If we understand the biblical aspect and we look back in the Old Testament, you can read it up. It's very interesting how families functioned under the Old Testament and how things have changed over time and where we are today. But I want to say, let us uphold our marriages, uphold our families. And where there's been breakdown, even if you're a single parent, there's also sibling families. There's families where siblings have to play the role, you know. But even there, God is there, God of relationship. Believers are called as God's children to serve one another in God's household of faith. That's who we serve. We serve each other. We engage in each other's lives. We help one another. We encourage one another. And we can also reprimand one another. We can also rebuke one another in love to help each other. We don't want the foundations to fall. We cannot allow the foundations to fall. We are responsible. You are responsible. I am responsible before God. One day we will all stand and God will say, what did you do about that? What did you do about that? What did you do about my word? What did you do? It's so easy for us to sit back. Sometimes I understand. Sometimes I'm also, you know, at the end of the day or a lot of things have happened and you just don't have the energy to address that thing. Or you know, but then you pray for the right time to actually address it, to look at it, maybe even to think about it. First think about it and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you as how to address it, how to deal with it. Family is important. The modern day, the family, immediate family, extended family, and the family of God, and the families. Family is not only a biological institution, it is a spiritual one. Family is sacred. Your role as mother is sacred. Your role as father is sacred. Your role as child is sacred. All our roles are sacred because God placed us in those roles. God has given us responsibilities and God wants us to live. Your role as grandmother, as aunt, as sister, as cousin, you have a role to play. You're not just there for nothing. I'm not just there for nothing. None of us. And we're not just there for ourselves. Get out of yourself. Get out of yourself. You are here to love God and to love others. How that looks will depend upon your personality and upon you surrendering your will to God. Me surrendering my will to God. It may not look as the way I think it should look. It must look the way God wants it to be, the way God intended it to be. You are not an island. I am not an island. If we were islands, God would have put us all in islands. We'd have been many or planets. Would you like to live on a planet all alone? So God put us together to live together, to help one another, to support one another, to do whatever we can do. Believers in God's household, believers are united, as we read all the factors, we're united by our faith. We united by love. We united by service. All of this reflecting God's mercy and truth to the world. The world is watching us. The world is watching us. Yes, we fall short. Yes, I miss it. You miss it sometimes. The world is watching how we behave. They want to see, when they see something good, they will acknowledge it. Sometimes the enemy will also use them, or sometimes they will also see wrong, but we could also learn from that. So God's light must reflect through us, through our families, through our relationships, through how we live, through strong families and relationships. God's love and His power is revealed. Remember, we said it's the foundation, it's the basic institution, which is recognized academically or in the world, and is recognized in God's kingdom. Let us not neglect that. Let us not neglect that. Now, in closing, I want to read a scripture, Ephesians 5:1. Last point before I read Ephesians 5:1, I want to say, God puts us in families. As Psalm 68 verse 6 says, God sets the lonely in families, but the rebellious dwell in dry places. God sets the lonely in families, but the rebellious. There is a danger when we isolate ourselves from the family. There is a danger when we want to go our own way. Those who disconnect from God's family risk losing access to His power and His blessings. Relate to your family. And if, I know some of us, and we've all been there at some stage in our lives, there are things in families where we've been hurt, where we've been disappointed, where we didn't have something, or things didn't work perfectly. I want to say, even those hurts and those pains, give it to God. Ask the Lord to heal you. Ask the Lord to heal you. If there was no father figure in the home, if father was absent, if father didn't discipline as he should, give it to God. Say, Lord, come and heal me. Come and help me. The Lord wants us. He wants us to experience His fullness. He wants to heal us. He wants to make us whole. If there was no mother, I stand here as a testimony because my mother died when I was only 11 years old. And we are a family of 5 and then later on a family of 8. So I can share testimonies of God's grace in my life. I can say to you, God brought grannies and aunties who are mother figures to me, who I can look back now and honor them. That is why I went all the way to KwaZulu-Natal, to honor my aunties, to honor all those who played a role in my life. They taught me things, not just the big things. I remember one aunt, she's passed away. She got me while she's cooking, and she taught me how to make roti. She got me to make the roti. So every time I make roti, I am thinking of auntie. Her name is Yuletta, mine Sonetta, my dad's elder sister. I always think of her. She's not here today, but I pray for her children and for her grandchildren, because that is what she would want. So that's how the connection goes and goes and goes. So yes, Ephesians 5 verse 1, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. You and I are dearly loved. Read Ephesians. Read it slowly. Meditate on it. You are dearly loved. I am dearly loved. God placed you in a family. He placed me in a family. He places us in families. And live a life of love. What type of life must we live? Of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That is the final word. And do this as dearly loved children. We need to remind ourselves. Sometimes we need to speak to ourselves. I am loved. I am special. I'm valued by God. God has a plan for me. God has a purpose for me. Tell yourself, you've got to speak into your soul, speak into your spirit, and receive God's love. So that love can heal you, so you can know that love. It can heal you, that love can flow through you, that love can transform you, and so that you who have received the love have got love to give to others. We cannot give what we do not have. We've got to come and ask God to fill us with His love and let that love flow through others. Amen. Father, we thank You that that You've placed us in families. We thank You that Your design and Your blueprint is about families, marriage, about a family in the greater context, in the smaller context, in the medium context. Thank You, Lord, that we are not islands. Thank You that we belong to You. We pray for each other. We pray for each and every one of us here. That, Lord, You will heal those areas where we might be hurting, areas where we might have lacked in our biological families or our natural families, we pray you will heal it. Lord, come and heal every hurt. Come and help each one to come and just pour their hearts out to you in times of quiet, in times of stillness, and coming to know you as a loving Father, knowing your love that is so wide, that is so deep. It covers every experience. This love goes deep down, right? Even this love went right to hell to save even those who cannot be saved. This love is so wide, we cannot put our arms, we cannot measure it, we cannot determine it. Thank you for this great love. May we all delve deep into this love. May we go in, may we endeavor to know the love of God. May we endeavor to know the depths of the love of God and the discipline of God. The love of the Father and the discipline of the Father. Lord, teach us. Teach us, Lord, to take both, oh God. To receive both your discipline and your love. Thank you that everything is for our good, for your glory, for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to say, is there any questions? But I think I gave over to Alma already. Any questions, we can speak later, or any thoughts we can share later. We must around the cup of coffee or tea. Please feel free to join.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Lay Spirit, place. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Set forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come to your awesome presence. From the shadows into your radiance, by the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Place, Spirit, place. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness,
ever changing from glory to glory.
Mirror here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me. Shine on me.
Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Amen. Go in peace to love and serve God. Amen. Please have some tea and coffee with us.